We're going to spend some time in our first segment this week taking a look at some of the history of Sussex County. We're going to do it from two different paths. We start with a look at a historical structure, which is now in danger of becoming simply photos and memories. Here to talk about the Horton Mansion, its historic significance, and the risk that it currently is at today. To do this, we say good morning to the historian for Sussex County, Wayne McCabe. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on your show today.
I want to give you the website for the Sussex County Historical Society as we start here. Of course, we have the link over to our page, too. It's sussexcountyhistory.org, sussexcountyhistory.org. So let's start with an obvious for the history novice. Give us a little background on the importance of the Horton Mansion.
Okay. The Horton Mansion was constructed in 1858 in the Gothic Revival style of architecture. It's a very high style in terms of its overall appearance and the different features that are reflected in the construction. The building itself is stone. It's manufactured from locally quarried limestone. And there are brown sandstone trim that have been used for the door and window sills and lintels. The building itself is considered to be one of two of the best examples of Gothic Revival style architecture in our county, the other being Christ Episcopal Church in Newton. The building was constructed by John Horton, who originally lived in the northern part of the county, and following his apprenticeship in a local business, relocated to Newark, where he became involved in the leather trades. He made a fortune at that time, pre-Civil War, in the leather goods industry, and then came back out to Sussex County, his native county, where he set up and acquired property and began to establish a large working farm just on the edge of what is now the town of Newton. At that time, in 1858, it was the township of Newton, prior to the township being divided into other sections of Hampton and Andover townships in 1864. But what happened was that at the end of 1858, just prior to the building being constructed, Horton dies. So his family continues to live there, and it was then later transferred on to other owners, and other uses took place there. Ultimately, it was used by the Don Bosco Seminary as a teaching facility, and other buildings were constructed on the site, eliminating a lot of the farm structures that were there.
If I understand, the property
has evolved over time, though, for use.
If I understand the, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, the family tree of the mansion, the land that it rests on was actually land that was purchased back in the 1700s by William Penn and was purchased from Penn's sons at a later date. So that's another aspect of the historical significance to at least with the land that the mansion sits on then, too.
That is correct.
So
what we're seeing is a evolution of ownership of historical figures and historically significant individuals, and also the use of the land from not just farming. It then went to educational and continued into government service, because the county at one time had their facilities up there, the county government, and then ultimately to what it is today, our county community college.
Notice that the Horton Mansion now is placed on a list of most at-risk historical locations. Is the Horton Mansion designated a historical landmark and by any recognized organization, state, local, even federal?
The New Jersey State Historic Preservation Office in 1992 reviewed some materials that were submitted by Kevin Wright at the request of the Board of Trustees of the County College. They made a determination that the Horton Mansion and the small gatehouse located at the foot of the hill are eligible for both the New Jersey and National Registers of Historic Places, but it has not actually been placed on either of those registers.
And do we know why that is?
There was no follow-up that was taken as a result of the initial determination of eligibility. Whether or not the Board of Trustees just didn't follow up on it back in 1992, I'm not sure. There is no clear chain of documentation on that. However, we do know that one of the staff members, Bob Craig, the State Preservation Office back in 92, who is still with them today, did issue a letter that said, if you do the following changes, then resubmit all the documentation to us, along with floor plans of the building, photographs of the exterior and interior of the building, using the National Register forms, and it will be then reviewed by the state office staff, and then ultimately by the State Review Board for Historic Sites for inclusion then on the New Jersey Register. Once it is on the New Jersey Register, it has been signed by the State Preservation Officer, who is the Commissioner of Environmental Protection, and is then sent down to Washington to the National Park Service, where the keeper of the National Register will review it and then include it on that register as well.
Talking with Sussex County Historian Wade McCabe about the current state of affairs with the Horton Mansion on the grounds of Sussex County Community College. Learn more about this and other historical aspects of Sussex County, the website for the Historical Society is sussexcountyhistory.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So that's the scenario of bringing us to today through the past, and what the future holds for Horton Mansion could mean demolition. And I guess the first question is, who is making that decision, and why is the decision of demolition at the forefront rather than restoration?
The decision ultimately rests with the Board of Trustees of the County Community College, because the college is the owner in fee simple of not just the mansion, but all the other buildings and the over 100 acres of land on which they sit. The trustees, being the responsible party, will have to make a decision one way or the other whether they want to have it demolished or preserved. Originally, the building had been designated as being one that where the administration would be moved into once it was completely rehabilitated, and the president's office would be in there, the admissions office would be in there. And then, at that point, under Brad Godfrey's administration, they had planned on preserving the building and using it as a centerpiece for the community college in terms of its best foot forward, visually. Now we're faced with a situation where the current administration and Board of Trustees in November of last year adopted a new master plan that called for the demolition of the mansion. There's no specific indication who had asked for that to be included in their master plan, but their engineering firm, CP Engineers, decided to put that in and call for the use of the stone from the walls of the building to be used for the construction of the Horton staircase and the Horton landings and just areas where people could sit or have passive recreation. The construction cost for those two items using the stone has been put at $1.7 million, which in our estimation is a waste of taxpayers and school money. Rather, instead of spending that much money to simply create a stone staircase or a viewing area or sitting area, that the money could better be used for the restoration of the building and its adaptive reuse as it was originally intended. What we're talking about now, though, is possibly having to establish a Friends of Horton Mansion organization that would be responsible for fundraising and also for working with the county college's Board of Trustees and administration to come up with the best use of the building for college purposes, whether it is the admissions office or the alumni office or the fundraising for the college. We felt that this would be the best location in terms of having those uses placed on the campus in the building complex.
It could even be a good idea to turn it, since it's a historical building, turn it into a museum/archive that the public could come into and see displays and exhibits, and charge a small fee for people to come in and turn it into a revenue producer for the campus.
That would be one alternative, but again, the final use, the determination of the final use of the building rests with the Board of Trustees of the college. We had originally suggested to them that with working with the County Historical Society that we could use that for displays and that they could have receptions there. But that didn't seem to go over very well. So what we have done now is to change our approach and say, what is the best use for the college? Because if we're going to have a buy-in from the trustee board for the adaptive reuse of the building, then it will most likely have to be an exclusively college-based use for the mansion. As long as the mansion is preserved, rehabilitated, and can be put into a appropriate adaptive reuse, that's the primary concern that we have.
I have to wrap things up here, but real fast, is there a drop-dead date for a final decision on the part of the college, or are they still having a fairly liberal open-door policy about if you've got something better, step up and let's hear it?
Right now we've been told by Glenn Gavin, who is chairman of their trustee board, at the July meeting of that board, that September's meeting of the board will be time set aside to discuss the future of the mansion. We have, from our position, proposed a two-year hiatus for the demolition, in which time we would be able to work with the college trustee board and administration to identify the appropriate adaptive reuse, stabilize and mothball the building temporarily so that it has a shell against any further weather deterioration, and then start working toward fundraising and the physical adaptive reuse of the and improvements to the building.
And learn more about this and the other historical matters and folk points of focus that the Sussex County Historical Society brings to your attention. Best place to start is their website, sussexcountyhistory.org. And you can also find out ways, as things develop further between now and the September meeting, how to get involved to be a supporter of the sustaining future of the Hornton Mansion. Again, sussexcountyhistory.org. And we've joined this morning by Sussex County historian Wayne McCabe. Wayne, thanks so much for the way that you're helping us gain a greater appreciation of history. Thanks for being here this morning.
I appreciate the time, and also encourage everybody who is interested in preserving the mansion, contact our Historical Society in Newton. We do need help. We do need people to work with us. This is not just a Newton-based operation. This is a county-wide concern, and we welcome all the help that we can get.